And the Holy Spirit sees me mourning over my sin, and He pours oil on the fire, and He shows me more of my emptiness and more of my nothingness. That's conviction. That's the work of the Spirit, to convict of sin, to show me how empty I really am before God. And then He shows me righteousness, the exceeding perfection of God. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if I stand before God on the eternal day in my condition, and God calls my name to give account for every word and deed, I'm doomed, I'm damned, I'm hopeless, I'm lost, and I need a Savior. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord Jesus said, who have a heart like this.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I trust that today as we dig into the Sermon on the Mount again, that the Lord will draw near and bless your heart, encourage your soul today. The Sermon on the Mount, well, it's probably one of the best known names of sermons, but I'm not at all sure if the sermon is known, and I really fear that it's not understood. There has been a lot of abuse of this passage and these teachings of the Lord Jesus. Modernists and liberals have skewed them and try and preach a social gospel. And some, of course, have tried to deny just about everything that Jesus said. Now, remember that the word blessed means to be happy in holiness, happy in the Lord, favored of God, one who is truly experiencing the favor and the blessing of the Lord. Now, here I want to read them, and then we'll bring you to the message today. It says here in Matthew 5:1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" Well, we end just there, and we're turning to the message from the pulpit of our church, the Sermon on the Mount as taught by the Lord Jesus. And of course, we want to try and understand what exactly did Jesus mean when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Well, take a listen. May the Lord minister to your heart from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale.
A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the preaching of the Lord Jesus, and we discovered that he is indeed the preacher of all preachers. I discovered a little outline on the preaching ministry of the Lord Jesus that I want to give you at the outset tonight. The Lord Jesus was an intelligent preacher. He threw light and truth together. Poor preacher where there's no light, and poor preaching when there's no truth. The Lord was a powerful preacher because he spoke with authority. And when he ministered this Sermon on the Mount, the conclusion, the impact upon the people, the question was, whence hath this man such authority? The Lord was also a successful preacher. He not only could gather crowds, but he could win hearts. And of course, that's the great work that God has called us, that we might see hearts changed and thereby lives changed. The Lord was also a lawful preacher because he was sent by his Father. He was commissioned to preach. And this ministry that God gave him, well, he had been led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He had been proven that he would overcome the attacks of the devil. And we are told that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach. Oh, that we could say that God gave us a God-given ministry. And every preacher in the pulpit should have these four qualities: intelligence, power, success, and lawfulness, that we might declare the word of the Lord. I want to come back to the significance of this Sermon on the Mount. W. Perkins, an old preacher of bygone days, he said that this is the key to the whole Bible, because it is the sum of the Old Testament converging with the New. And we can't really understand this linkage between Old and New if we do not give ourselves to understand this Sermon on the Mount. I've already mentioned that there are really eight Beatitudes, and we want to, in time, do each one of them due diligence. Beatitudes are really paradoxes. They are things that, if you're a Christian, they might be plain to you now, but at one time it was like looking through a glass darkly, and it made very little sense. And when the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor," at first it seems an absolute upside-down statement. How can that possibly be? But when we understand the gospel and the Lord gives us a new heart, we begin to understand that indeed blessed are the poor in spirit. The worldly man, of course, he never stops to think that to be downcast in spirit, to realize the emptiness of your heart, that could lead to happiness. To the worldly man, happiness is the world itself. It's riches, it's silver, it's gold, it's pomp, it's ceremony, it's the fame. It's glitter, it's Hollywood, it's many things, but to be poor in spirit, who would have thought of that? And yet this is the Lord Jesus starting his ministry. Someone said that because the Lord intended to build tall, he had to firstly dig deep. And as any tall building, you need a deep foundation if you're going to go high. And because this gospel leads men to heaven, he digs deep, right into the heart of man, to show just how empty he is. These Beatitudes are an extension of the Lord's first ever utterance: repent. And if we want to understand the meaning of gospel repentance, we need to look at these eight Beatitudes. Repentance really is a change of mind to think right thoughts about God and of ourselves as sinners. I hope that you have a repentant mind tonight, that you are repentant toward the world, the carnal, ungodly man. The world's a wonderful place. It's exciting. But to the person who's born again, the world is a disaster. It's the place of the curse, where Satan seeks to be the god of this world to destroy souls. And we're all too happy to be delivered out of it and to be brought safely unto the side of the gospel. Now, the substance of this sermon about the law is, of course, in keeping with repentance. We will never understand God nor what is right thinking if we abandon the law. And that's why in chapter 5, verse 18, the Lord said that he came not to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it. And till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then verse 21 and verse 27, as we may have noted before, the Lord shows that the law is spiritual. It is the anger of your heart is as the sin of murder. The lust of your heart is as the son of adultery. And this law is a very powerful magnetic force, and it exposes the very recesses of the heart. And the Word of God, we're told, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, even the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want to know the real you, open your Bible. If you don't want to know what's really in your heart, close the Bible. Because this law will search you. It will search you out as to the real you. And so therefore it's no mistake that our Lord began his sermon in this mount with these beatitudes, these eight paradoxes. And he begins with this, the poor in spirit. And we begin here because we need to have this spirit that we might be blessed, but we might have fellowship with God. Think of it that way. Blessed means to have fellowship with God. It doesn't matter if you live in a cottage or a palace. You want to have fellowship with God. Doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or you don't know how you're going to pay your rent this month. You want fellowship with God. And if you have fellowship with God, you're blessed. You could be living in the most beautiful home on the West Coast and be absolutely stone miserable, wretched, without any real satisfaction. Whereas you could be destitute physically and yet be the happiest soul on earth, having real, sweet, wonderful communion with God. So let's look at this first paradox, this first beatitude. Blessed are. There's no doubt about it, by the way. Blessed are. This is not to be questioned. This is something that's absolutely true. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, it's gospel grace that creates this poverty of spirit. Note that it's not the poor materially. It's not the poor man in money or material, but it is the man who sees himself as a nobody, nothing, having nothing but emptiness. Some of the poor materially in this world are very far from the kingdom of God. If you were to go down to the area of Skid Row in any city, you would find those who are destitute, but they're hardened. Sin has hardened them. They've got a spirit of entitlement and a chip on their soul shoulder. And if you try to help them, there's a hardness of heart. Sin hardens, but grace opens our hearts and makes us to realize our great need. Thomas Watson, who wrote a whole treatise on the Beatitudes, he said, "I distinguish between poor in estate and poor in spirit. There are the devil's poor. They are both poor and wicked, whose clothes are not more torn than their conscience." What a powerful way to put the truth. Men who can be poor and wretched materially, and it's only hardened their hearts. I wonder, is your conscience tender toward God tonight? I wonder, have you got a heart that it has been broken and opened and emptied of self? Now this poverty, therefore, is spiritual. It's to realize that you are really miserable before God and without God. It's that spirit of repentance which is given to the soul of true converts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The man that's born again, the person that has been brought out of the darkness of his sin into the light of the gospel, he gets this kind of heart, poor in heart. And I run through the Bible and I find many, many people who got this kind of heart. Nicodemus, the proud religious ruler, came to Jesus by night, but the Lord gave him a new heart. He first of all preached to him, "You must be born again." And then he held up to him that text, John 3:14-15, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when they looked to that serpent, they were healed. And sinners who look to the crucified Christ are healed. And one of the first things you get is a heart that is melted and weakened and repentant towards sin in the world. There was the Canaanitish woman who came to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord at first did not entertain her much, but she said, well, does the dog not sit at the table to receive the crumbs? Surely the Lord gave her a tender heart, a poverty of soul, a recognition that she was in need of even the crumbs of the gospel. And I think of another man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. If you know anything about the wretched lives of tax collectors during the times of Christ in Judea, they were the most hated and despised rascals. They were the scandalous of society. If you signed up to be a tax collector, you were not loved by Jews, and you were made suspicious by Romans, because you were taking the money of the people for the Romans. But the Romans were always suspect whether you were paying them everything. They were usually swindlers, proud and self-conceited. And this little man, Zacchaeus, he went up the tree to see Christ passing by. And you know what the Lord said to him? Come down, come down. And you know, that's what has to happen in every sinner's heart. Come down. Come down from your pedestal. Come down from your pride. Come down from your self-conceitedness. Come down from your sense of fullness and recognize that you need to be saved. And that man, Zacchaeus, what a change. He said, I'll pay back fourfold what I have if I've wronged any man. I'll pay back fourfold. What a change. A repentant heart, a new spirit. And of course, when you get a repentant heart, the things of the world lose their shine. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, he who loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And how often that's true. Paul said that the world, he talked about the fashion of this world. The world is just, and that word fashion means an apparition. Something that's seemingly wonderful, but has no reality. And there are men and women running after the material, running after the things of this world, and they will never be satisfied. But when you come to Christ, you get a new heart, and you realize it only those things stamped with eternity that will satisfy the soul. Remember that. Next time you have a decision to make in life, if eternity is stamped on this, then it will satisfy. If time and the world is stamped on it, it will only be a heartbreak. It'll only bring sorrow and pain and trouble. And so make things sure those things you're resting in and trusting in are stamped with eternity. I'm almost embarrassed to bring this example again, but I'm back to Paul the Apostle. I seem to keep quoting him all the time. Even in Sunday school this morning, he was one of our examples. But you know the dramatic transformation that was in that man and the egotism of Paul. The egotism of Saul of Tarsus, the pride of man. And he said in Colossians 3 that he had to renounce all of his heritage and all of his Phariseeism and all his self-righteousness. And he counted them all as dung that he might win Christ. That's the new heart. That's this poverty of spirit. And that miracle happens again and again and again. And blessed are those who are given a spirit of repentance toward those things of the world. And this is what worldly men need. And this is why men don't want to come to church and hear the gospel, because they're going to be told something they don't want to hear. But let me ask you, do you have poverty of heart tonight? Do you recognize your emptiness to the point where you know you need a Savior? That in your own you are nothing before God, and you need a new heart. Now, of course, Christ died to purchase this spirit of repentance and this confession of sin in his people. The Lord is the Lord of the poor in spirit. He's the Savior of sinners. He said that he was not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he pointed out that his people are weak. worn, weary, and they know their emptiness of heart. And they have been called to look unto Jesus and mourn over their sins. Now, I don't want to go preaching this too far, because the next one that we probably will look at soon is, blessed are those that mourn. They seem to be very close together. But this is the mark of a real Christian. We're talking about Christian character, the qualities of a born-again Christian, one who's a child of God and who is linked up to the Lord Jesus, no longer trusting in his own righteousness. Now, in my Bible, I have done a little bit of highlighting, and I have marked what I call this the key verse of this, really the Sermon on the Mount. The key verse of the Sermon on the Mount is verse 20, in my opinion, where the Lord Jesus said, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." What is that supposed to do to me? As I read that in my Bible and mark that as a significant text, what should that work in my heart? I should realize I'm lost. I'll never get to heaven. I could never reach that standard. There's no hope for me. And I cry out, poor me, I have not a chance of heaven in my own righteousness. And it's that recognition of my lost, the impossibility of man working his way to God's standard, that makes me to cry out, I'm poor, poor in heart, poor in spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit, his work is to come to convict of sin and of righteousness and judgment. And it's like that man we read of in Pilgrim's Progress, where he's pouring oil on the fire, and the Holy Spirit sees me mourning over my sin, and he pours oil on the fire, and he shows me more of my emptiness and more of my nothingness. That's conviction. That's the work of the Spirit, to convict of sin, to show me how empty I really am before God. And then he shows me righteousness, the exceeding perfection of God. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if I stand before God on the eternal day in my condition, and God calls my name to give account for every word and deed, I'm doomed, I'm damned, I'm hopeless, I'm lost, and I need a Savior. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the Lord Jesus said, who have a heart like this.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be
Well, thank you for tuning in and joining us here on the program today. And I hope that you got the message that a paradox is something that seems to be really opposite, but in reality is an essential. That blessed are the poor? How can that be? Why would it be better to be poor than to be rich? But the Lord is speaking about the poor in heart. Blessed are those who are repentant, sorrowful over sin, than those who shrug it off and those who call themselves rich in this world. And so these are spiritual traits and characteristics that the Lord Jesus is dealing with, and we need to take them that way. Now, poverty is not a blessing because it really can harden the heart. Poverty can cause people to be filled with bitterness and hostility toward God. And there are many who live on the street and they're angry with God. They have nothing to be proud about, and yet they are proud because they think that God owes them. They have a spirit of entitlement. And so all of that is just false, and it's sinful and carnal. What the Lord is insisting on, that by grace we receive a heart that is tender, that is turning away from our own selfish egos and humbled and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Spiritual poverty is really the repentance of heart, turning back to God. And I hope that you have that. I hope that you will seek that with all your heart, and then you will truly be blessed. When you repent and turn away from yourself and this world, give yourself to Christ, call upon him to be your Savior, and you will be blessed. Now, if I can be of any personal help, I want you to know that I'm here to help you. And I'm only a phone call away, or you can email me, and I will be glad to be of help. So send for literature. We have a little booklet called A New Beginning. It's online in our website, but you can also get it in paper copy, and we'll mail it to you free of charge. So stay tuned for the announcements coming up now, and you'll get all these details how you can be in touch with us here. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.